sign up.
This is the OTP 4D presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. No matter your life stage, you can plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for great health care coverage with a sensible price tag. Visit FBHP.com. Amy Wells is here. Rhett Bryan is here. I'm Mike Keith, and we're going to go four downs on the Titans' 24-22 victory on Sunday over the Las Vegas Raiders. First up, Amy Wells, your play that turned the game, as this is first down.
I think this is more the play that set the game for me. And it was Derrick Henry's catch on a short pass from Ryan Tannehill, and he runs it for 23 yards. It's the second play of the very first series of the game, but it set the tone so much. I even wrote in my notes, holy cow, Derrick Henry. I was so excited to see him kind of get back to running the way that Derrick Henry runs and being the overwhelming presence on the offense. And that is something that this team has needed. They needed to have him running the way that we're used to it. And it really set the cadence early for this Titans offense.
For me, it was late in the third quarter. In fact, it's 4:55 left. Titans lead at 24-13. And Ryan Tannehill throws an interception to Daron Harmon. And so here's a place where it could have gone off the rails. But the very next play, Illuminor, the lineman for the Raiders, called for holding. Then the successive plays after that, Derek Carr to Davante Adams for 7 yards. Same play again. That was incomplete. Then there was a penalty for a delay of game because the crowd at Nissan Stadium really, really did a great job yesterday. And then Derek Carr has a pass to Brandon Bolden that was for -2 yards. And so they end up having to punt the ball, and they finished a quarter 24-13, the Titans hold on to the lead. If that is a drive where they go down and score, we might have a different result sitting here right now.
Mine's Randy Bullock's field goal at the end of the first half for three different reasons. Number one, it completed a great sequence of complimentary football that started with a wonderful punt, three and out on defense, very good punt return, a couple good plays to pick up yardage and put them in position for Bullock. 3 points are obviously huge because they turn out to be the difference in the game. Would have been 21-10 at the half. Instead, it ends up being 24-10 at the half. The Titans win by 2, so that's obvious. The other one's for Randy Bullock. It's basically the kick he missed in the Giants game. And what does it do for him negatively, and what does it do for the team negatively if he misses that kick going into the locker room? So a lot of things factor into that for me. Give Bullock credit, knocked it right through, gave the Titans that momentum headed into the locker room. You felt good about it. And again, I think it ends up being the difference. Second down, the stat that grabbed your attention. This time, Rhett Bryan gets to go first.
World-class receiver Davante Adams, 5 catches on 10 targets, 36 yards, and a touchdown. And what is more interesting to me outside of those numbers is that it wasn't just Christian Fulton, it was also Roger McCrary on him at times. Now, Matt Collins had his day, but they took care of the superstar wide receiver who, by many, is, you know, thought to be the best route runner in the league.
Minus third down defense, the Raiders were 1 of 12 on third down. That's an incredible effort by the Titans defense to get the Raiders off the field, get the Titans offense back on the field. A little addendum to that, a little caveat. They were 3 of 3 on fourth down.
And picked up another one on a penalty.
Yeah, so there's still work to be done. However, the effort there, very impressive to me.
Mine is 25 touches for Derrick Henry. 20 carries, 5 catches. You're getting the football to the man 25 times. 8 of the first 14 offensive snaps, Derrick Henry touches the ball. What you're saying is, just like in basketball, just like the Yankees choosing to hit Aaron Judge either first or second in the lineup, get the ball to your best players, get your best hitter up to the plate as many times as possible. That's why you're paying him the money. They found ways to get him the ball. I love it. I want to see 30 touches or more in Indianapolis. Right now, I need to mention another good friend of the program. How about Duncan? We love Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan is shining gold this September to support the fight against childhood cancer. Stop by your local Duncan through this Wednesday and donate $2. Here's what you'll get. A Duncan Gold Joy Donut. The Gold Joy Donut is topped by vanilla-flavored icing and topped with a tasty glazed Munchkins donut hole.
Mm. So you get both?
You get both.
Yes.
Oh,
every
yeah.
donation from the Gold Joy Donut will bring joy to kids battling cancer, making every donut count. Stop by today through Wednesday. It's for the kids, folks. America runs on Dunkin'.
I've had the Gold Joy Donut, and it is fantastic.
Well,
there is a really good munchkin in the middle of it. Looks like it's like a hat sitting there.
On third down, I ask Amy Wells, the area where the Titans must improve from yesterday.
The Titans have to make the first half and the second half look a little bit more like each other on offense. In the first half, the Tennessee Titans have 16 first downs. They have 275 total yards of offense. They have 195 yards of passing. In the second half, 3 first downs, 86 total yards of offense, and only 57 yards passing. You've got to make those two halves look a little bit more similar because you've got to put some points up in the second half. There's no better way to say it.
It's a 60-minute game. You're right. For me, it's the defense giving up explosive plays as they did throughout this ball game. Those things have got to be tamped down. They did what they were supposed to do on offense and creating explosive plays to extend drives and then putting points on the board to cap those off. But on defense, Mac Hollins, 8 catches for 100 and however many yards, I forget, 185 yards or something, 158 yards. But you gotta tamp that down.
Stop giving up the deep ball.
Yes.
I mean, because that's not a choice. It's like we saw in the Jets game last year in week 4. That a quarterback doesn't have to make a choice there.
Right.
You're not making him read anything. He's just throwing it as far as he can, and you want to make the quarterback hold the ball and make a choice. And so for me, that was going to be number one. That has to stop. And you're going to see Michael Pittman this week, who's a big receiver. He can make plays. Talking about tight end Jelani Woods, who can make big things happen down the field. Does most of his in the red zone, I know. But, you know, stop giving up the big plays. Just knock it down. Figure out a way to knock it down. For me, it's about pass rush. You got to get more pass rush. I know guys are out. I know you're beat up. But you've got to get to Matt Ryan because Matt Ryan can't move anymore. That's the one thing about his game is he used to have nice mobility. He's been sacked 12 times. You've got to get pressure on him because he's a tough guy. He's not afraid to get hit. It's not anything about that. It's just if you do hit him, he's not going to be as accurate. If you don't hit him, he's very accurate. And so to me, that's the big one. Let's move to fourth down. Your player of the game, Rhett Bryan from the win.
This one ties back into your first down with the play of the game. You mentioned that 49-yard field goal by Randy Bullock to end the first half. Well, this guy is a big part of that, and that's wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. 3 catches, 40 yards. So his first catch, 8:05 left in the second quarter. It's 3rd and 3. There's a 10-yard catch by him that keeps the chains moving, and that leads to the Tannehill touchdown to put points on the board. So there is his part in extending a drive. Then his second catch is that 15-yarder that helps set up the 49-yard field goal. And then the last play that he made was that he recovered the fumble that Ryan Tannehill had later on in the game in that and kept the possession of the ball. My player is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Though he had just a handful of plays there, they were all valuable.
Mine is Kevin Byard, and it's not necessarily based on what's on the stat sheet. He did have that interception that really felt like a momentum shifter for the Tennessee Titans. But beyond that, and it might just have been where I was positioned during the game, but man, Kevin Byard is a consistent leader on that defensive sideline. He is in constant communication with everybody on the defensive side of the ball for the entirety of the football game. He's constantly moving. He's constantly helping guys out. And he is constantly providing feedback and advice to some of the younger guys and then working through things with some of the veteran players, kind of seeing what they're seeing. And it's just, my man is always in motion and he is working so hard on game days. And I was just so struck by that. So he's my player of the game just for being an incredible leader.
Mine's Derrick Henry because he's Derrick Henry. Listen, Derrick Henry is not a natural receiver. He works very hard on it in practice, and he has made himself into a capable NFL receiver out of the backfield. He would never be a third down back because of his size. He's just not that kind of player. And yet, he catches the ball when you throw it to him. Sometimes it's not always beautiful because, again, it's not what he naturally did as a kid. And he ran the ball, and he wasn't asked to do it much at Alabama. He has worked at that and been very professional, and for the fact that he gained nearly 60 yards receiving, that was great. The other thing, too, is how he ran. The sense of determination that he had, moving piles, getting the extra yard, getting in from a couple yards out at the goal line or whatever it was. The fact of the matter is this offensive line is not as big and strong as it has been. It's inexperienced. I mean, think about this. You got two new starters in their first month in the NFL. One of them's a rookie. And then you throw in a guy at left tackle who hasn't even been here for a month. The Titans traded for Dennis Daly on August the 30th. You can't expect Dennis Daly to jump in and beat Taylor Lewan. I could have given my most valuable player yesterday to Ben Jones because he did a great job running the show. As Coach Mack was pointing out on Titans Radio, we could hear all kinds of things on the parabolic mics. We were picking up things. And Ben Jones' checks and changes were beautiful. But all that being said, that's a young offensive line around Jones. They're inexperienced. They haven't played together that much. And yet Derrick Henry is still finding ways to move that thing forward.
Mike, to your point about Derrick Henry in the pass part of the game, the receiving game, he has been working on that every year to get better. His career high, I think, in 2020 was 19 for 206. He was going to shatter that in 2021 before he went out with the injury at Indianapolis. I think he had 18 for over 100 at that point. So here he is with 5 for 58 in one game. And clearly he's worked on it. And it gets me very excited to see that part of his game develop as it becomes harder to run north and south.
All right. So want to thank everybody for joining us for this edition of the OTP 4D presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Plan on paying less for the coverage you need with Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get a quote today at FBHP.com. Want to end it by mentioning something. Indianapolis and Nashville are, what, 290 miles apart?
Roughly. Is that a four-hour drive? Because it's about a four-hour drive.
Yeah, if you live north like Amy does, it's easier. Yes. Yeah. But it's a drive that a lot of people make.
Mm-hmm.
People choose when the Titans play in Indianapolis to go to Lucas Oil Stadium. If you live in western Kentucky and you follow the Titans, it's even closer. But from east or west or north or south, it's a good place to get to. It's a great downtown. It's a tremendous venue. And so a lot of Titans fans go to this game. Well, the Tennessee Titans are hitting the road for Indianapolis this weekend, and we're going to have a road rally, the Titans Road Rally Weekend. It's presented by Old Smoky Distillery. Fans can look forward to a pep rally on Saturday night. The pep rally is at 16-bit Bar and Arcade in Indianapolis from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Eastern Time. And then on Sunday, a big gathering at Lucas Oil Stadium, the Heirloom at Lucas Oil Stadium from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The first 100 fans of legal drinking age will receive two free Bud Light cans. So gather with all your Titans friends. Gather with all the Titans fans. Be part of it. T-Rack will be there. Titans cheer will be there. Giveaways, a lot more. For more information, visit TennesseeTitans.com, and you are looking for the Titans Road Rally Weekend presented by our friends at Old Smoky Distillery. That's
come
a good
on
time.
Out. Yeah, come hang and out with us.
Short road trip, like you said. I mean, and a great way to get things ready for the first of several AFC South Division games, and this one, super-duper important as the rest of them.
Super-duper important indeed. For Amy Wells and Rhett Bryan, Mike Keith says, thanks for listening to the OTP
4D.